I'm Dave Lewis. The issue of the Indianapolis Reporter of May the 26th, 1928, contains a grainy photograph of a street corner band called the Percolatin' Puppies. In addition to the ukuleles and mandolins in the photo, they played coffee pots. The leader of this group was a kid named Deke Watson, who recalled, "We played a small teapot, a medium-sized coffee pot, and a very large coffee pot, plus guitars. The sounds we were able to make were fantastic. At the end of each performance, we passed the largest of the pots among the audience. The toughest thing about this way of making money was the fact that all of us had to keep our eyes on the cat who passed the collection pot for the evening, or else some of the money found its way from the pot to his pocket before dividing time arrived." At the time the Percolatin' Puppies were cooking up the streets of Indianapolis, banjo player Charlie Fuqua left Sid Valentine's Patent Leather Kids, the group we heard at the start, in order to start a coffee pot band like Deke Watson's. His group was joined by Jerry Daniels and Bernie Mackey. Elsewhere in Indy, Orville Hoppy Jones and Miff Campbell met in a music store and started to tour under the name of Jones and Campbell. All of these musicians were working in Indianapolis in the late 1920s, but they did not run into one another. However, by 1931, they began to converge in the Cincinnati radio studios. Bandleader Earl Fuller, who also ran the Cincinnati radio station WFBE, the call letters were his initials run backwards, discovered Jones and Campbell and added Leonard Reed, renaming them the Three Peanut Boys. The Three Peanut Boys had a regular show on WFBE and performed at Fuller's nightclub, Fuller's Gardens, in Avondale. But the club soon closed as a very late victim of the Volstead Act, and control of WFBE shifted to the Cincinnati Post, which ultimately renamed it WCPO Radio. Leonard Reed dropped out of the Three Peanut Boys and was replaced by Deke Watson. Then they added one more member and changed their name to the Four Riff Brothers. On February 9, 1933, the Four Riff Brothers moved to WLW, where they appeared on several programs, including The Rhythm Club, hosted by Fats Waller. In September 1933, the Riff Brothers broke up, and Deke Watson went to Cleveland, where he ran into Charlie and Jerry, who had been performing as a duo. They renamed themselves King, Jack, and Jester. In December, they moved back to Cincinnati to appear on WLW and WSAI. In the summer of 1934, Hoppy Jones joined this group, and they were renamed King, Jack, and Jesters. Finally, in August, they left for New York City and successfully auditioned for the Apollo Theater, where they were told, "You can't use that name, King, Jack, and Jesters. That's stupid." So they got together once more and came up with a new name, the Inkspots. Their first bill at the Apollo was in support of the band leader, Tiny Bradshaw, who would figure later in Cincinnati's music history. This first edition of the Inkspots made just one record for RCA Victor, and if you know the Inkspots sound at all, hearing this may come as a bit of a surprise.
Swing like nobody's business, swinging cause we just can't keep from swinging. When that native call, our boys come creeping, there's nothing left to do but keep on swinging.
Yeah. It's so heavenly, makes you feel so good, uh-huh. Make our own harmony, that is understood.
Swinging on strings like nobody's business, swinging cause we just can't keep from swinging.
Swinging.
While it does not sound like the Ink Spots we know, Swinging on the Strings does preserve the sound of the group as it was when they were still based in Cincinnati, and may be the only recorded document of that kind which we have. However, that does not mean that we aren't looking for more. Stay tuned. Even after the confusing musical chairs back in Cincinnati, the group had one more sea change in personnel, as Jerry Daniels quit in 1936 and was replaced by Bill Kenny, a singer from Baltimore, whose high tenor lead served as one of the signature sounds of the band, particularly in ballad settings. The other forward element was bass Hoppy Jones talking out part of the lyrics. And these two elements taken together had a name, Top and Bottom. Deke Watson usually took the lead on their more up-tempo numbers. From 1938, the Ink Spots began to employ a pianist to help them out with their arrangements, and they may have needed it as they weren't exactly thriving. The Ink Spots were doing radio and recording for Decca, but the public seemed disinterested in them, and by the end of 1938, they were in discussions about whether or not to break up. However, in January 1939, they recorded If I Didn't Care, which put the final answer to that musical question.
If I didn't care more than words can say, if I didn't care, would I feel this way? If this isn't love, then why do I thrill? And what makes my head go round and round while my heart stands still? If I Didn't Care.
If I Didn't Care was an enormous hit, and the Ink Spots shortly proved one of the dominant acts in the music business, scoring 5 hits in 1939, 10 in 1940, and 7 more in 1941. When the smoke cleared, the Ink Spots would place 41 numbers on the sales charts in their 15 years as hitmakers. Among 5th Beatle Ink Spots that served as pianist and arranger for the group was Bill Doggett, who worked for them for a time in the early 1940s, and he would later enjoy success as a King Records artist. In 1943, Doggett worked in the Lucky Millinder Orchestra, as did singer Trevor Bacon. When Deke Watson took ill in 1943, Trevor Bacon filled in for him. Also, when Charlie Fuqua was drafted into the Army, Bernie Mackey, who had been in Charlie Fuqua's coffee pot band way, way back in Indiana, came in to sub for him. But when Charlie returned from defending his country, Bill Kenny wouldn't give him his old job back. Deke Watson was sort of the loose cannon in the group, and he began to argue with Bill Kenny. Deke was fired, or quit, in early September of 1944. In October 1944, Hoppy Jones, who was the bottom in the Ink Spots, collapsed and died on stage at the Cafe Zanzibar in New York City. He was replaced by Bill Kenny's twin brother, Herb Kenny. Hoppy had been the last man standing among the Cincinnati members of the Ink Spots. Deke Watson founded a new group, which was called Deke Watson and the Brown Dots. What is it about that name that makes me think of Ink Spots? The Brown Dots also enjoyed some hits, including this one, which would do much better for another artist in the rock and roll era.
I hope you do believe.
After Deke Watson left, the Brown Dots became the Four Tunes, an early doo-wop group that recorded for Jubilee. The Ink Spots soldiered on for the rest of the 1940s and enjoyed a few more hits in those years, but in 1954, Bill Kenny officially disbanded the group, or so he thought. Various ex-members of the group, including Deke Watson and Charlie Fuqua, started up new Ink Spots and began to tour with them. In addition, other groups emerged in which no member of the original Ink Spots was present, and these far outnumbered the Ink Spots that at least had one original member. Only 16 persons count as being a member of the original Ink Spots, but it is estimated that at least 192 groups have performed under this name. Bill Kenny went to the courts to try to put a stop to it, but unfortunately the name was never registered, and as far as the courts were concerned, anybody could be an Ink Spot. Nowadays, it seems no one is. It appears that the pond in which their lines were cast has been overfished. If you were to say, "Hey, we're having the Ink Spots here tonight," people would say, "Aren't they all dead?" And indeed, Huey Long, the last person who could be considered an original Ink Spot, died in July 2009. As to the others, only Jerry Daniels returned to Indianapolis and outlived nearly all of the other Ink Spots, dying in 1995. Bill Kenny died in Vancouver in 1978, Deke Watson in Washington, D.C. in 1969, and Charlie Fuqua in New Haven, Connecticut in 1971. When they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Museum in 1989, the group described as honored consisted only of Bill Kenny, Deke Watson, Charlie Fuqua, and Hoppy Jones. So despite the multiples and multiples of Ink Spots out there, the group didn't manage to survive to the present day like their statemates and predecessors, the Mills Brothers, did. But their music did survive.
Hold me like the River Jordan, and I will then say to thee, you are my friend. Carry me like you are my brother. Love me like a mother. Will you be there?
In 1993, Italian songwriter Albano Carrizzi sued Michael Jackson over the song Will You Be There, which he claimed Jackson stole from his song I Cigni di Balacca, or The Swans of Balacca. The case wasn't settled until 2000, when it was thrown out of court because the judge decided that both songs were derived from this song.
For being an angel, just when it seemed that heaven was not for me, bless you for building a new dream, just when my old dream crumbled so heavily. that vine-covered chapel on the hill. Your face.
Although the Mills brothers may have refined and partly defined the art of jazz singing, the sound of the Ink Spots runs through the bloodstream of American music, and it can be said with some accuracy that the very style of doo-wop began with them. Some might find the enshrinement of the Ink Spots into the Rock Hall a strange choice, but if it hadn't been for the Ink Spots, rock and roll would not have existed, at least not as we know it. These examples from the 50s, recorded well after the Ink Spots broke up, tell the tale.
Make all this world seem right. Only you can make the darkness bright. Only you and you.
Although perhaps not even they in 1939 knew where the path would lead, the Ink Spots represented the future. The big band soared to the stratosphere, only to crash and burn like a wounded B-17, leaving behind groups like the Ink Spots to serve as a cool corrective to the rockers, honkers, and shouters that dominated the landscape in the 1950s. And while the individual threads that make up the Ink Spots originated in Indianapolis, the fabric that fused them together as a group was sewn in Cincinnati. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Dave Lewis.